Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Shushruk Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchihi Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat Shushruk Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Kritaruchihi Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat Shushruk. One who is engaged in hearing. Shraddhanasya. With care and attention. Vasudeva. In relation. No, I'm sorry. In respect to Vasudev. Kata. The message, ruchihi, affinity, syat, is made possible. Mahatsevaya, by service rendered to pure devotees. Vipraha, oh, twice born. Punyatirtha, those who are cleansed of all vice. Nishevanat, by service. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Purport. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva or godly living beings, and there are men called Asuras or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the Asuras is given, in which it is said that the Asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries, according to the supreme will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras, and the demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself, according to the indication of the revealed scriptures. But he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God. Although undoubtedly he was God himself, the Lord behaves so as to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. First qualification, eagerness to hear. Shru, the word is there. Prabhupada didn't put it into the translation, but he did mention it here in the purport. Shru, shraddhadanasya. Shraddhadana means you trust that what you're being told is true. First you're eager to hear, but then you don't reject what you hear. You don't discriminate. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. No, shraddhadana. You're convinced that what this person is saying is right. And when you find such a person who you know is not going to tell you something wrong, you have a special trust in that person. How many of us have found such a person in this world? People suffer frustration because they have never found anybody whose word they can explicitly trust. You can trust something sometimes from somebody, but somebody who everything he says you can trust. That was Srila Prabhupada. Every word he said, his disciples could trust. Unfortunately, there are people who were not Shraddhadana and could not accept Srila Prabhupada completely. There are people today who used to be followers of Prabhupada but have lost that faith. They don't trust that Prabhupada can do such wonderful feats like empower his own disciples. So therefore, no one's empowered. Prabhupada is the only acharya, the last acharya ever to exist. No one will, or maybe in the future, in the dim future, there'll be another acharya, but we have nobody around today who's empowered. That means you do not trust that Prabhupada can empower his own followers, that he's not that much of an acharya that he can empower others. That's loss of faith. Faith is something you can acquire. It's not that you're eternally condemned for not having it. If you cooperate with the great devotees, if you serve them especially, then your faith can grow. If you have a small drop of faith, enough faith to want to listen to a devotee, maybe do something to help him, then that little faith can blossom into strong faith. Then you can become Shushushro and Shraddhadana, and you can acquire the attraction to hearing about Krishna, which is the prime desirable asset in life. Not lots of money, living in a place with a nice climate, having a nice family, being respected by your community. These are not the real goals of life. The real goal of life is to get Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. Such a precious entity. To get it, you have to have two qualities and do one thing, according to this verse. You have to have the two qualities of being Shushushru and Shraddhadana, eager to hear, eager to serve. The same word says both. And Shraddhadana, trusting. You have to trust what you hear and who you hear it from. If you have that qualification, okay, then the active qualification is you have to do some service. Mahat Seva. If you are actually convinced that such a person is a representative of God, well, here's your chance to start some service. What's our business with God? To serve Him. To just take service from God is infantile, like an infant who doesn't know how to serve the parents, only knows how to take. Or a citizen in a socialist country who only knows how to take from the government and not how to give anything. That's infantile. Mature, grown-up attitude toward parental figure is to want to serve the parents, want to serve the government, want to serve God. So, it's nice you want to serve. Why don't you actually do some service? Service is to be done, not just thought about, dreamed about. And, you know, someday I'll do this and I'll do that. Why don't you just do something now? Even if it's not as fantastic as what you're dreaming about, do something practical. Actually, do something. So, two qualities, but one action that must be done. You must do some service to the Vaishnavas. It may be a small service. It may be insignificant service. That doesn't matter. But it should be some active, practical service to contribute to the service that the guru is doing to his guru. Then you're linked up with the chain. It's a specific succession of service, not of patronage. You know, I know an important man, and if I need a favor, I can go to him. That's materialistic parampara. Modern democratic politics is based on that. Power is possessed by somebody, and other people flock to him to share the power and be patronized so that they can also become powerful. If you're sponsored by a big man, you can also become almost as big as him. In the modern world, that's politics. The parampara of patronage. But it goes back into ancient times too. But we're talking about the parampara of service. Just the opposite, not taking but giving. Not exploiting, but letting yourself be used for the pleasure of the Supreme. Because the parampara, the gurus, they are not exploitative. You can trust them. You can trust them that they will not misuse you. If you can't, then there'll be no trouble. You have to be able to trust your authorities that they won't misuse you. If you don't have such good authorities, then you have a right to complain. The parampara of trust has to be based on pure attitude of service. Shushusha shadadanasya. So you put your faith first of all in Krishna's devotee, Mahatseva, not directly Krishna Seva. To pretend that you can directly serve Krishna without, first of all, cultivating Mahatseva, this is what makes a sahaja, a person who takes devotional service cheaply. As I've mentioned many times before, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whenever he would travel, as he did extensively throughout India, he would meet many people who claimed to be Vaishnavas. And he had one question that he would ask every one of them. The question was, under whose direction are you performing the service of Krishna? Who are you following? And if the person said, no, I'm just serving Krishna directly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would refuse to take that person seriously as a Vaishnava. A real Vaishnava, first of all, does Mahatseva, serves his gurus, and then he hopes to be able to be allowed to do some service for Krishna on the strength of his service, his connection with his guru. Through parampara, proper channels. So, a real Vaishnava follows this process. Shushu shok shradadanasya. And what does he get for it? Vasudeva Kataruchi. Not power, prestige, money, comfort, facility. If he gets those things, those are simply secondary benefits. And if he takes them to be the goal, narto taya alpakalpate. This dharma is meant to lead to the real liberation of pure bhakti. Dharma yapavargyasya. So, material benefits in the form of money, in the form of power, in the form of reputation should not be considered by the devotee to be his purpose. If it is, then his devotional service is a fraud. So the first principle taught here is you have to begin by serving, by developing a relationship of service with Krishna's devotees. Then you can have access to Krishna. We have to be faithful disciples. We have to cultivate an attitude that the purpose of my life is, first of all, to serve the Vaishnavas. Service of Krishna, that may come, but that's a great privilege. Who knows if I will be allowed the direct service of Krishna? Let me do what's practical, what's obtainable with my limited powers at my disposal. I cannot dare to barge in on Krishna's intimate pastimes, but I can approach the devotees. They're very compassionate and will let me serve them. We have the story of Narada, who was in a fallen condition. He was born as the son of a maidservant. In that condition, he wouldn't even be allowed to go study the shastras in the Gurukula. Later on, he entered the Gurukula, but only after he got the mercy and probably initiation from the Bhaktivedantas. When they left, then he went to school. But before that, he wasn't even allowed to attend school. He was an outcast. Narada. A boy that was probably fated to be a servant the rest of his life. You know, a waiter in the restaurant serving prasadam. But he was engaged in that service of serving the guests. As a menial service, but he did it with a nice attitude. He impressed them that this is not an ordinary boy. He is shu and shradadana. I mean, first of all, they saw that he's shradadana, that he's faithful. He doesn't just want to fool around like other boys, cheat, lie, steal, waste time. No, he doesn't waste time. He doesn't play unnecessarily. He speaks very nicely. He speaks little and to the point. Unusual boy. So the sages who were visiting his mother's place for the Chaturmasya, staying out of the rainy weather, they showed them his mercy by allowing him to have remnants off of his plate. Normally a sannyasi should not allow anyone to take remnants off of his plate. It's a varnashrama regulation for sannyasis. Don't give anybody your uchishta. But Narada got the special favor. Okay, you can have. Uchishta lepan anumodata dvijay. Sakritsma bunje tadapasta kilbisha. Once only, the guests allowed me to eat the remnants on their plate, what they left over. They gave me permission. Not that I stole it, but they gave me permission. Narada was not the kind of boy to steal, even in prasadam. Maybe a little too nice. He wouldn't even steal prasadam. But they allowed him. They gave him permission. And what happened? Evam pravittasya vishuddha chetasa. Just by doing that, just by accepting the remnants. Okay, they offered to me, I'll take. It's nice prasadam. And it's been taken by the great devotees, touched by them. I should be happy to take it. A little boy, he didn't know the principles, but it sounded good to him. He didn't refuse. More prasadam, I'll take it. Evam pravittasya. So just by doing that, just by taking those remnants, vishuddha chetasa, his heart became even purer. He was not so bad already. But now his heart became seriously pure. Vishuddha chetasa, vishuddha, very pure. Evam pravittasya vishuddha chetasa. Tad dharma eva atma ruchir prajayata vyajayata. What developed in him by thus becoming purer in heart is that he got infected by the contagion of the consciousness of those guests. Just like you eat off of someone's plate, if he's sick, you'll get infected. To catch his disease. Well, he caught their disease. Atmaruchi. Attraction to the self. Spiritual attraction. General. Spiritual attraction. Nothing specific, nothing particularly devotional. But he became interested in spiritual life. Oh, what are these? Who are these men? Anyway. And what are they doing? What are they talking about? He became interested in spiritual life. And the next thing that happened, he started listening to what they were talking about. Tatanvaham Krishna Katha Pragayata Anugrahena Shrinavam Manohara. They were talking about Krishna. Narada, in his condition as a young 5-year-old boy, he didn't remember what Krishna was from his previous life. But they were talking about this Krishna, whatever Krishna is. They were talking about Narayan and his avatars and his leelas. And he was attracted. He didn't really understand what it was they were talking about, but he became attracted. Tatran Vaham. Every day he would come and listen. As a matter, he became a habit for him every day to come and hear. So gradually he maybe started to understand what they were talking about. Started to pick up some ideas. But even more importantly, Tatranvaham Krishna Katha Pragayate, he started to become attracted to Krishna. Understanding is nice, but more important is to become attracted. He became attracted to Krishna, and from that there on, it was a natural development, step by step, of his pure devotional service, the reviving of Narada Muni's pure devotional service. It started by just doing a little bit of service. And the service was to take the prasadam, the remnants. Well, at first he served, he did menial service, and then they allowed him the remnants. That was the fruit of the service. It's not a big service to take prasadam off of someone's plate. It may be considered, you may annoy somebody by doing it. Generally, don't ask a senior devotee, can I have your remnants? It's an embarrassment for him to be asked for his remnants. If you have to have it, steal it. After he leaves, grab his plate. But don't embarrass him by asking for it. This little boy, 5-year-old boy, they tolerated, okay, he asked for it. Maybe he didn't ask, but they gave him permission to take. Because he's a little boy, and a nice little boy, let him have it. But it doesn't mean we should all be demanding It's like you shouldn't go around demanding blessings. Give me the dust from your feet and grabbing feet. So he shouldn't be grabbing off of people's plates in front of them. He can do it when they're gone, behind them. You can steal when they're not there. That's Mahatseva. It can be a very simple thing. You know, serve lunch to the sages, sweep their floor, see that they're comfortable. The simplest kind of service can accomplish this miracle of awakening the taste for hearing about Krishna, for serving. That's the whole perfection of life, or it's the key to the perfection of life. It leads to the perfection. So this is the beginning of a sequence of verses to describe how by sadhana bhakti, love of God awakens in the heart. And the key, this central part of the whole process is the hearing, shravanam. The first of the nine processes of devotional service, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, vishno. But first of all, shravanam. You want to chant, but what will you chant if you haven't heard anything first? Chanting is to repeat what you heard, by definition. You can't just make up something that you didn't hear. That's not authentic chanting. Chanting means to hear anukirtanam. First hear something and then repeat it. And maybe you should hear it carefully or hear it repeatedly before you start repeating it. So we'll read in the next verses what this shravanam leads to. How one becomes gradually a pure devotee imbued with pure love and an ecstatic attraction to the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes. Did I say that? I don't think I said that today. Okay. Okay, yeah, it said. It said Krishna is constrained by a principle that he's imposed upon himself, that I won't interfere with the nonsense of the rebellious souls. They want to rebel, I'll let them rebel. They want to surrender, I'll encourage them and help them, but I won't force anybody to surrender, to give up their nonsense. So the Supreme Lord puts this restriction on himself. I'm not going to interfere with their rebellious independence. They want to surrender, okay, I'll help them. If they don't want to surrender, I won't make them. I'll never force anybody to surrender. So therefore, the Lord can't fully manifest his desire to give mercy because of that constraint. He can't interfere, meddle with the independence, the autonomy of the living entities. He can let his devotees do that for him. His representatives can interfere where the Lord himself wouldn't interfere. And just, you know, shake the living entity by the shoulders and say, what are you doing? Why don't you serve Krishna? Krishna himself won't do that. So in that way, the devotees are more merciful than the Lord because the Lord has put a constraint on himself not to fully show the mercy he wants to show. So he does it, he arranges for the devotees to do it for him. It's still him acting, but he does it indirectly. Yeah, but he's not forcing the devotee to do that either. The devotee is exercising his autonomy by wanting to help the Lord. It's all autonomous. Living entities are never forced by the Lord to do anything. They have to have a desire to do it, and then he helps them do it. Matak smritir gyanamo pohanam cha. I'll give knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, but according to the desires. If you just want to forget, you never want to remember, I can help you forget forever. Completely, everything. Only if you want to remember, then I'll help you. And only if you want to preach, I'll empower you. If you don't want to preach, you can stay unempowered. No problem. Why waste all the power if you don't want to use it? So I won't empower you. You can stay unempowered if you don't want to preach. So the devotees who are going to help the Lord, they have to want to do it. They're not going to be just programmed like robots. They're not just, you know, automatons to be programmed. They're programmed by love, by voluntary surrender. Then the Lord gives the program, but only to a willing. It's like, you know, you can only program the computer if the computer asks to be programmed. It's a different kind of computer. It's a conscious, autonomous computer. And only if they want to be. You can't force the computer to be programmed if he doesn't want to be. Okay.
Yes.
But, you know, I used the word trust. I converted it to trust. Yeah. Because faith can mean, blind faith. We'll pass around a gun with one bullet in it, a pistol with one bullet, and we'll each see whether we blow our heads off. And one person out of six will probably blow his head off. Is that faith? That's insanity. So what do you mean by faith? I changed it to trust. Yeah. Yes.
Like we can go on with sadhana if we have good Mars in charge or something like that.
Good what?
Mars, Mangala. In our chart, we can do only good sadhana. I heard on Sunday this lecture.
Yes.
If you have good Mars in our chart, we can do only
good. Oh, good Mars in your chart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Prabhupada taught that all the time, yeah. No, you should have done it that time. There's just like right now. If I said something like that, you should raise your hand and say, excuse me, you said that. Is that actually right? Because I think Prabhupada said something just the opposite. So you politely correct, because otherwise the audience will be misinformed. Prabhupada wanted that. He said, just like, devotees complained, Prabhupada, you want so-and-so to give the class. I don't remember the exact words, but devotees complained, Prabhupada, you're asking him to give the class, but we know he talks nonsense. And Prabhupada said, no, let him give the class. And then after the class, whatever he said wrong, you ask him to correct, you correct it. But you should do it then, at the end of the class. Otherwise, everyone will forget about it. Or they'll go around the rest of their lives believing it's true. Innocent devotees can easily pick up crazy ideas. So you have to correct it. It's your duty. But do it tactfully and politely. Not to make an enemy, or not to treat him like an enemy, but just attack the misunderstanding. Don't attack the person. Yes, that's one of the purposes of a question period at the end of the class, in case something was seriously said wrong, it can be corrected. Not just for additional information, but also to correct mistakes. But it should be done politely. To what kind of devotees? To senior devotees?
Like, for example, I remember in Bhagavad Gita class, one devotee was quoting something from somewhere, and then there was a senior devotee that felt himself. After I went to the first person, he said, actually, you quoted wrong, it's not from that verse, actually.
Okay, well, that's a minor thing. That's not a philosophical mistake that will ruin somebody's life. Yeah, that in that case, where it wasn't a really important thing that's going to cause damage to anybody's spiritual life, that he quoted, gave the wrong reference.
Yeah.
You approach the person in private afterwards and tell him that it's actually this Purana, not that one. Yeah. Hey, just do it respectfully. Yeah. If it's a serious thing that's going to confuse innocent devotees, then you should discuss it in the class. It should be corrected. Bhagavatam class, There shouldn't be any cheating religion. So we have to kick out the cheating religion. Not kick out the cheaters, but kick out the cheating. That's the standard of Bhagavatam. No nonsense. If you catch any nonsense, you have to point it out. But, you know, quoting the wrong verse is not serious nonsense. It's just a technical mistake. Doesn't it's not going to destroy anybody's life. Vishnu Kantapu? Okay, but in defense of the truth, you have to risk your reputation. You know, let everybody think that you're out of hand, that you're nonsense, but at least you defended the truth. And Prabhupada will be pleased with you. Okay. The most important thing is to please Prabhupada, even if others are displeased. Okay. Durvidabhu? Yes.
So how come, I can understand somehow, how come that they decided to stay in the house of the Mitzvah? It's like really a big transgression.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the story. Maybe there was nowhere else to stay. It's okay. The maidservant probably was running our house as a guest house. And, you know, he shouldn't have accepted her as a disciple. You know, they shouldn't have accepted her as a disciple. They can accept that she's the innkeeper and we're going to stay in that house. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's not like sannyasis and brahmas can't have anything to do with low-class people, but you have proper relationships. In the Vedic sacrifice, you need paraphernalia. You need clay pots. You need cups and other things made out of wood. The people who make those pots, the potters and the woodworkers, they're low-class people. But still you take what they've produced and you use it in the sacrifice. But first you sprinkle water on it and chant mantras to purify it from the contamination of those people. But there's proper ways to accept the service of lower-class people. It's not that you have nothing to do with them. So it was okay. It was okay for them to stay in the house. They didn't have any close friendly relationships with her, but they just, you know, they let her serve as appropriate according to her position. But Narada, the boy, the son of that lady, was special, so they recognized that, and they developed a more intimate relationship with him. Okay, I'm sorry, Prahlad Nandaprabhu was first. Yeah. Yes. Well, this is... Prabhupada said like that. Prabhupada didn't say that Vapuseva is worthless or unimportant, but it's relative. The Vani Seva, the service to the word of the Guru, is more powerful and more important. Because the association with the instructions is more important than the association with the body. Main reason is you can't associate with the guru's body forever. Usually the disciple is younger than the guru, so the guru is going to go away. He won't be here forever. You won't be able to associate with his body. What do you do then when you can't find his body? He passes away, or he's just on the other side of the world preaching in some other country, and you can't have his body. So you can't depend on Vapuseva. It's not permanent. But Vaniseva can continue life after life. So therefore the service to the Vani is more powerful and therefore more important. Both are valuable. It's not that the Vapuseva is worthless. If you've been given the Vapuseva, that's your service. If you're the servant to give massage to the guru and clean his bed, then that's your service. That's perfect. Not that you should reject that because it's inferior. It's your service. It's perfect. Whatever Vapuseva we get, that's transcendental. But the Vaniseva is relatively more important. Yes, that's another reason why Vaniseva is preferable, because there's danger in committing aparad in the Vapuseva. Offenses can be committed because you're getting close to the guru. You can, just doing a little thing like taking a nap can be an aparad, it can anger him. And beside that, there's a principle that familiarity breeds contempt. You get too close to a person, you start thinking he's ordinary. Then you get a bad attitude. So many servants of Prabhupada, they had spiritual trouble because they started to think of Prabhupada like an ordinary person. But Prabhupada had 10 servants before he had Shruti Kirti. One after another. They didn't last. So therefore it's safer. It's safer to serve the Vani, to go out in the field and serve the Guru preaching. Okay, we're going to have to stop, but Bhagiratha, we have one last question from Bhagiratha. Okay, so we'll stop now. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.